with that introduction, let's get started. First, I want to talk about Tochin, then hopefully we'll get to Lush, and then if we have time, we'll do Zoreya and Kotzer, and if we don't have time, we'll figure out maybe another day or some other form of Chazara for that. So when it comes to Tochin, I think Tochin could be broken down into about 7 or 8 topics. Number one is the actual Isser of Tochin itself. What is the Isser? How do we define Tochin? Number two is the heter of La'alter, which we'll talk about. Number three is the heter of Ein Tochin La'achar Tochin, which we will also speak about. Number four is the prohibition of using a kli, hamiyuchad l'kach. Number five is the concept of shinoi when it comes to Tochin. Number six is the heter of Chatichos Gedolos. And the last issue is Lav Gedulei Karka, and the heter that that gives for Tochin as well. So when it comes to the Isser of Tochin, the Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Hey, that one of the toldas of Tochin actually is breaking up one thing and dividing it into many different pieces. And he uses the lashon of Mechatech Dak Dak to break something up in precisely very small pieces. However, that doesn't tell us what the Av Malacha is. So to figure out the Av Malacha, we could, based on the tolda, have an understanding of what the Av is. Because if the tolda is breaking up or slicing into pieces which are Dak Dak, that means that the Av Malacha is really grinding, which makes sense, because as the Aruch HaShulchan says, the way in which Tochin was used in the Mishkan was to grind up the Samimanim, to take those Samimanim and really grind them up to make the dyes for the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan. So when it comes to Tochin, the Isser, the Av Malacha is really grinding fully, smashing completely into bits, and the Tolda, one of the Toldas of that, is breaking up, being Mechatech Dak Dak. So the Gemara in Shabbos says that based on this, there are two things that are Tochin that the Gemara refers to. Number one is Parm Silka, and number two is Salis Silsi. This is the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Ayin Dalet. And the problem with this Gemara caused many Rishonim to come up with different interpretations or how to understand this Gemara in conjunction with a different Gemara in Shabbos, which talks about something which is seemingly similar. The other Gemara in Shabbos says that Knivas Yarek is Aser on Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos. And the question is, if the Gemara says that Knivas Yarek is Aser on Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos, that implies that if it's not Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos, then it would actually be Mutter to do Knivas Yarek. But why would that be true if this is an Av Malacha? If there's an Av Malacha, we know that Yom Kippur has an Isser Malacha, so why would it matter if it's not Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos? Shouldn't Knivas Yarek be Aser? So we have to figure out, how do we get around this contradiction between the Gemaras? Because one seeming implication of the Gemara is that Knivas Yarek refers to cutting up something into small pieces, and the Gemara seems to be implying that that is not an Isser Malacha. And on the other hand, the Gemara in Shabbos on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis says that Parm Silka, which again, we'll have to figure out what that is, but it seems to be cutting up a vegetable into small pieces, that's an Isser of Tochin. So is cutting up a vegetable into small pieces Tochin or not? So this was the question that many Rishonim had to deal with, and this is going to help us figure out what exactly is the Isser of Tochin. So one answer comes from Tosfos. And Tosfos says a very cryptic, very short line, which is that really Parm Silka, which refers to, again, cutting up a radish, seemingly, into small pieces, that's the only time where Tochin is Aser. Dafka Silka, says Tosfos. And the way that fixes the problem, or the contradiction between these two Gemaras, is because when the Gemara in Shabbos later is talking about Knivas Yarek, so that has nothing to, that's not a Silka. So Tosfos is saying, only Silka has an Isser of Tochin. When the Gemara says Knivas Yarek, it's talking about some other vegetable. So that helps us get out of the contradiction, but it leaves us with a very perplexing question. Why would it be the case that only Silka has an Isser of Tochin? Where did that come from? There's no special pasuk that says only Silka has an Isser of Tochin. Why would that be so? So the Trumas Hadasha and the Tosfos and Tosfos Rush both deal with this question. And the Tosfos Rush says that what Tosfos has in mind is that, well, really both of them say, or at least the underlying assumption of both Tosfos Rush and the Trumas Hadashen, is that Tosfos doesn't mean Silka is the only vegetable or the only food which Tochin applies to, but that Silka is meant to serve as a paradigm for where do we apply Tochin. So what does silka set up as a paradigm? What is it meant to show us about tochen? So this is the machlokas Trumas Hadash and Tosfos Rosh. So Tosfos Rosh says that silka is an example of foods which are darko bakach, that they're things which are normally chopped into small pieces. So since it's normally chopped up into small pieces, that's where tochen applies. But if you have something that's not darko bakach, you don't normally chop it up into small pieces, and then on Shabbos you would chop it up into small pieces, that is not an iser of tochen. On the other hand, the Trumas Hadashin says that the reason why silka serves as a paradigm is because it's an example of a food which could be eaten without having to be cut into small pieces. And that's where there's a heter. Is there a problem? Or it's an example of a food that, sorry, has to be. It has to be cut up into small pieces before it's eaten. If you don't cut up the silka, it's not able to be eaten. So you, then taking the silka and cutting it up into small pieces, that's a very creative act, as Rav Tani Cohen explained. And since that's a creative act, that's where we apply the Isser of Tochen. But if you have a food which doesn't need to be cut up into small pieces, and you decide to cut up into small pieces anyway, so we never said that that's an Isser of Tochen. That's not such a creative action, and therefore it's not Usser on Shabbos. So that was, again, that's Tosfos explaining the contradiction between the two Gemaras and Shabbos, and the two understandings of that Tosfos, and how to interpret that Tosfos. Another answer to this question is that maybe Tochen doesn't apply to food altogether. And that's the suggestion of Rabbeinu Chananel, to reinterpret the Gemara on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Rabbeinu Chananel says that really Parm Silka and Salas Silsi refer to like grinding up the something, you're getting some sort of fine dust, basically, from these stalks, but it doesn't mean that if I would cut up a vegetable into small pieces that would ever be an Isser of Tochen. So the Gemara later in Shabbos says, Knivas Yarek is Aser, is only Aser on Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos, rather, which implies that it's not really an Isser Malacha. So Rabbeinu Chananel says that's great, because there's no Isser of Tochen on food. The Gemara on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis was talking about something else. It wasn't talking about food, really. However, Rashi there does say that the Isser of Tochen does apply to food, and if you want to take that route, then you'd probably have to say similar to what Tosfos said. And later on, we'll get to the third answer of Tosfos on Shabbos on the later Gemara about Knivas Yarek, which is going to be where the Heter of Chatichos Gidolos comes from. So, at the end of the day, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that being Mechateich Yarek, dak, cutting up a vegetable into small pieces, is Aser, and there's no distinctions between whether it could have been eaten whole or whether it needed to be chopped up, meaning he doesn't seem to take the Trumas Hadashin into account, and therefore it sounds like we really accept the Rambam lehalacha, which is that the Av Malacha of Tochen is grinding up something completely and entirely, whereas the told of that Malacha, and therefore also an Isser Midoraisa, is chopping up a vegetable into small pieces. Okay, so that is the first section, the Isser of Tochen. Any questions? Okay. So when it comes to the... Yes?
Isn't the Rosh is like a Rabbeinu Chananel too now? Or?
Yeah, so the Rosh... he didn't really... he explains Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Korban Nisanel thought that he had the improper Girsa, but Rav Tani Cohen said the Rosh's Girsa is probably correct. Okay, so next is the Heter of La'alter. So the background for this is that when it comes to Borer, Abaye says that Borer is only Aser if it's La'otzer. If I'm taking something, I'm selecting something, and I'm saving it for later. But if I'm not, if I'm doing it La'alter for immediate use, that's not an Isser of Borer. So comes the Rashba and a Tshuva and says that just like there's a Heter of Borer La'alter, so too there's a Heter when it comes to Tochen La'alter. That if I would chop up something, dak, into small pieces for immediate use, that would be totally and completely mutter. That's what the Rashba writes in a tshuva. And one of the rayas he brings for this is the Gemara and Shabbos on Daf Kuf Nun Hey, Amud Aleph, which talks about, in the Mishnah, preparing food for animals on Shabbos and breaking up pieces of bread into smaller pieces, which sounds like it's tochen, and yet the Gemara only seems to say that the potential issue is tircha, or tircha yisera, on Shabbos, and doesn't ever take into tochen, and doesn't take tochen into account ever. It doesn't seem to care about tochen at all. But why not? Isn't that tochen to break something up into small pieces and then feed it to an animal? That's the malach of tochen. So where is the concern for tochein? So says the Rashba, you see from here that tochein la'alter is completely mutter. That's why the Gemara disregards tochein and only mentions tircha yisera as the potential machlokas between the Amoraim. Because since you're feeding the animals immediately after you crush up the food, that's not tochein. Tochein la'alter is mutter, just like borer la'alter is mutter. However, the Shulti Giborim quotes this Rashba, and he says, Mehechi Tesi, that there's a connection between borer and tochein. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you say that just because there's a heter of borer la'alter, that so too now there's going to be a heter of tochein la'alter? And the lumdus behind that, just Derech Agav, is, as Rav Tani Cohen explained, that it really depends how do you understand borer in the first place, and the heter of la'alter when it comes to borer. Because if you say that the heter of borer la'alter is that this was a specific thing said about borer, that the Torah only asked borer when it came to borer la'otzar, but borer la'alter was a specific heter given to borer. That's just how borer works. So if that's true, you're not going to apply that to tochen. You're not going to apply it to anything else. It's strictly applied to borer. However, if you say, no, there's something that when it comes to food, the Torah allowed you, or the Chachamim understood that when it came to food, there was never a restriction on the malacha there, that you're allowed to eat food normally, like a normal person. You're allowed to select something from a tarovis in order to eat it. You're allowed to chop something up so that now you could have food to eat. The Torah never answered that, which is exactly what the Rashba's Lashon is. So if that's the case, not only will you apply that heter to borer, it should apply to tochen as well. Why limit that heter? So that's maybe some of the lumdos which Rav Tani Cohen quoted from Rav Shafter and Eretz HaTzvi. So, in regards to Psak Halacha, though, the Beis Yosef says that because of the Shulte Giborim's hesitation to accept this Rashba, so we should accept it as a Snif L'Hakel, but not L'Chatchila. And therefore, you should try to combine it with some of the other heterim, which we will discuss. And in the Shulchan Aruch, this heter is actually not mentioned at all, but the Rama mentions it in, was it Shin Chav Aleph Yud Beis? Yeah, in Shin Chav Aleph Yud Beis, the Rama does mention the heter of L'Halter, quoting the Rashba and the Ran, which we'll get back to, and the Mishnah Berurah, their comments that the Beis Yosef said to be Machmir, to try to combine the heter of L'Halter with other things, and therefore that's how we should pass in Halacha L'Maisa, to one, have L'Halter. So if I want to have something on a Shabbos meal which will involve tochein, I should prepare it close enough to the meal so that it's considered the altar, which Rav Moshe says is the amount of time it would take to prepare the food on a normal basis. And I should combine that with something else like chatichos gedolos or maybe a shinoi, etc. So that is la altar. Any questions? Yeah, so that's the... we'll get to that. So... Well, no, kli is a chumra.
Meaning that if you're going to use that as the kli, if you're going to use the kli la'alter, it has to be all of these heterim are qualified.
Yeah. Right. So we'll get to kli in hopefully another section. Because first we're going to do ein tochein acher tochein, because we mentioned the Gemara in Kuf Nun Hey, which talks about again feeding the animals the grain or the bread that you're breaking up into littler pieces, and for some reason the Gemara just totally disregards tochein as being a problem here. So one answer we just mentioned was the Rashba, who said, why does the Gemara disregard tochein there? Because la'alter is clearly a heter. So the only question then is, could you be matir tircha yiseira on Shabbos? There was no tochein in that Gemara because of the heter of la'alter. That was the Rashba's answer. A second answer, though, which the Ran quotes in the name of the Smag, and the Rama also quotes the halacha in Shinchaf Aleph Yudbez, is that there's a concept just like ein bishal achar bishal, so too ein tochein achar tochein. And since you had a piece of bread, right? Bread wasn't built that way. It was first a bunch of wheat that was then crushed up and ground up and then reprocessed into bread. So at one point before it was bread, it was already broken down. It was already ground up. It was tocheined. And since it was already tocheined, ein tochein achar tochein, breaking up the bread, is not going to be considered an Isser Malacha. And that's why the Gemara only has a consideration for Tircha Yisera, but doesn't mention any tochein. And again, the Rama quotes this lehalacha. We saw, though, that the Chazon Ish... Yes, you have a question?
Does that mean that the Maisa that you shouldn't... If you're going to use two heterim for the altar, you shouldn't also use Ein Tochen Achar Tochen, because that would be a disaster? Because only one of those could be true.
I don't know. The Rama quotes both. It could be they maybe arrived at it from the same way, but it sounds like the Rama accepts both. But
it seems like the logic is the same as test, because he says Ein Bishah Harbishah applies to Tochen as well, just like he applies Bedrim after Yisrael Shef to Sajik.
I was just saying that the only one of those could be, only the Smag or the Rashba's explanation of the Gemara could be true. So if you need two Heters or Kulas, you can't use both of those and call it two, because only one of those are correct.
Why can't they both be right?
Because they're explaining the same Gemara in different ways.
Right, but there could be two reasons why there's no problem.
Right, I think you could say like they might be coming from the same place, but it sounds like the Ramah quotes both. But it's a good question. But another just added point to Ein Tochen Achar Tochen is what exactly does that mean, right? Because when it comes to Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, the literal explanation is quite easy to understand. If I already cooked something, let's say, and then it cools down, it doesn't lose the status of being cooked. It's just now cold. It's not raw again just because it got cold. Right, that's why when it comes to liquids, there's a bigger question. But let's take a piece of meat, the simple case. Just because it cools down doesn't turn it into raw meat. But how does it work with Ein Tochen Achar Tochen? If I grind something up and I put it back together as bread, me taking the bread apart is Tochen again. So how could you say Ein Tochen Achar Tochen? So the Chazon Ish says that you're right. Even though we're using the same language, it doesn't mean that they're the same exact concept. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is meant to be understood literally, that because it was already cooked, it's not going to become raw again, and therefore, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That's a literal explanation. But when it comes to Ein Tochen Achar Tochen, it doesn't mean that once something has been ground up, so now halachically it can never be ground up again. That's not what it means. What the Chazon Ish explains is that Ein Tochen Achar Tochen means that if something is a naturally made bond, that's where we say Tochen. But once something becomes a man-made bond, an artificial bond created by a human being, so that there's no Tochen on that. Right? So let's take the bread example. The wheat is created naturally, it grows from the ground. So once you grind that up, that's Tochen. But if you grind, let's say you ground the wheat up though on a weekday and you turn it into bread. So the bread, being a man-made connection, a man-made bond, that's where we say Ein Tochen Achar Tochen, because it's not a natural connection. And that's how the Chazon Ish explains what Ein Tochen Achar Tochen means. We're good? Okay. So the next section is just, I guess, the halacha that when it comes to Tochen, and you want to cut up something, so it's important to know that you're not allowed to use a Kli HaMiuchad L'Kach. Because just like by Borer, you're not allowed to use a Kli HaMiuchad L'Kach, so too by Tochen as well, which is what the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Shin Chaf Aleph Yud, when he's talking about the cheese grater, the Rylinch, I think it's called, the Rylinch?
In
French, whatever? The Ribeisen. No, he had two, I don't remember exactly what it was, but there's definitely something about a Ribeisen. No, that's something else. But he talks about a cheese grater, and he says that grating cheese on Shabbos would be a problem. Which I guess goes nicely into the last section about Lav Gidule Karka, but we'll get to that. So the next section is the discussion of Shinoi. So the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph has a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabba regarding using a Shinoi for Tochen. And the Gemara describes how, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to basically do a double Shinoi, that you have to use the handle of the knife, which is one Shinoi, and you have to only crush one vegetable at a time, which is a second Shinoi, because normally you would crush many vegetables at one time. And if you do that, that is mutter. The second opinion, though, Rabba says, as soon as you use the back of the knife, or the side of the knife, some sort of weird way of cutting that you don't normally do, kol ha-mishana, he says, that's a heter. There is a discussion in the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Chananel basically versus everyone else, about whether this Gemara is talking about Yom Tov or Shabbos, and as the Beis Yosef quotes, Rov Rishonim think that Gemara is talking about Shabbos. So the question then is, the Gemara tells us Shinoi is mutter. Okay, why does Shinoi help us? We normally don't just say, oh, Shinoi, now you can do whatever you want. So why does the Gemara seem to be saying that once you've implemented a Shinoi, you've somehow changed the normal way of doing something, that therefore you should have full permission to do whatever you'd like? Why should that be the case? So one quoted opinion is the Shibul Halakha, which Beis Yosef quotes in Shin Chaf Aleph Zayin, who says that since using the knife handle is a Shinoi Gamor, that he says it's a chiddush, it's a shinoi gamor, is totally mutter. That if it's so different, so varied from the normal way in which you do tochein or any malacha seemingly, that is totally mutter. That's the big chiddush of the shibul halakha from this gemara. Because otherwise, why should it be mutter? However, the Prima Gadim says that actually you don't have to say such a big chiddush. The Prima Gadim in the Eish Avram Sivkat and Tess says, and this is also in Shin Chav Aleph, by the way. So he says that if you look at the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins like the Rambam, and the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Parachav Aleph Halacha Chaf says that you actually need to do a double shinoi, even though we pass in like Rabba. Why is that? Or what is he talking about? Let's say first that number one, you have to have an unusual way of cutting with whatever kli you're using, and number two, it has to be on an unusual surface, right? He says you can't use, if you normally use a mortar and a pestle, right? So you have a certain bowl that you use for grinding things up, so you have to use a different bowl, or you have to use a tabletop, a different surface, if you want to have the heter that Rabba is talking about. So why then do you need two shinois? If Rabba says kola mishana, right? Why do you need two shinois? So the Prima Gadim says, oh, this is exactly what the Shibul HaHalakha was bothered by, right? Because it sounds like from the Gemara, any shinoi is enough, and now you're allowed to do whatever you want. But what the Rabbah understood was, no, even according to Rabbah, you still need a double shinoi. There still needs to be two things which you're doing differently in order to get a heter, because then it's two shinois on presumably something which is Litzorech, which would hopefully be Mutter. And that's how the Rambam paskins and the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that you need not only an unusual form of cutting, but also an unusual surface. And the Prima Gadim explains again that this is in order to get around the question of what does shinoi even accomplish here at all. A second answer, though, to that question of why does the Shulchan Aruch think that you need a double shinoi is the Mishnah Brura. And the Mishnah Brura says that the reason why you need an unusual surface has nothing to do with the question of the Shibul HaHalakha, but rather, the need for the different surface is to get out of the problem of Uvda Dechol. So that's the Mishnah Brura's answer. And that is the topic of Shinoi. So the next question is Chatichos Gedolos. So we already mentioned at the beginning that when it comes to Tochein, there are two Gemaras in Shabbos which seem to contradict each other. One says, and Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, that these Parim Silka, things which sound like food, are an Isser of Tochein. And then the Gemara in Kuf Yudalet Amud Beis says that when we're talking about Knivas Yarek, there's seemingly no Isser Malacha Midoraisa. So how do you get out of that problem? So again, we spoke about Tosfos on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. We spoke about Rabbeinu Chananel. And Tosfos on Kuf Yudalet Amud Beis gives a third answer. And the answer that Tosfos there says is that it depends what size we're talking about. That when we're talking about big pieces, Chatichos Gedolos, so that's not Tochein. Right, because tochein is really grinding; it's breaking things up into very small pieces. So if you cut something up into big pieces, that's just not tochein. That's what Tosfos says: the difference between these two gemaras. When the gemara says parim silka is an isser of tochein, it's talking about really small pieces. When the gemara is talking about knivas yarek and doesn't assume that there's an isser malacha, it's talking about bigger pieces. And therefore, says Tosfos, there's a heter if you cut something up into bigger pieces that is not tochein. And we said that, according to the Beis Yosef, this is one of the heterim that should be combined with the heter of la'alter. So if you want, again, to do tochein, it should be a combination of la'alter and chatichos gedolos. Lastly, when it comes to tochein, there is also a heter of lav gedulei karka, which is based on the Trumas Hadashan, which the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Shin Chav Aleph Sif Tes, where the Shulchan Aruch says that cutting up meat, that's not tochein. Because if something doesn't grow from the ground, if it's lav gidulei karka, so then it's not tochein. And even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're not allowed to grate cheese, and cheese is not gidulei karka, that's not a contradiction to what he writes here in Siftes, that meat, which is not gidulei karka, has no issur of tochein, because the difference is when the Shulchan Aruch is talking about grating cheese, as we mentioned, it's the case of kli hamiyucha lekach. And kli hamiyucha lekach is the difference. But when it comes to just looking at it from a lav gidulei karka perspective, there's a complete heter according to the Trumas Hadashan, which again the Shulchan Aruch quotes. So that is tochein. Are there any questions? Yes.
Kli hamiyucha lekach for meat would be problematic also.
Yeah.
What is it? Like,
it's
what kli should you use for cutting meat?
I think we said a knife is really the only thing that would be mutter.
But what's
like a cheese grater,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I think in Rav Rimon's sefer, he has a question about a cleaver.
Okay.
Maybe that's like on the board, like it's a knife, but it's a special knife. So look there for more details.
Josh, did you see the Shachanach quotes on the non-Gilutark possession?
I believe it's a Truman Sedeshin, yeah. Okay, so let's move on to Lush. Okay, so I think Lush is a very, very difficult sugya to break down in the way that we just did, because there's so many overlapping things happening at the same time. But hopefully, we will be able to break it down into, I think, 4 or 5 main issues, which will help give us clarity on this topic. And let me know if I'm going too quickly. So, again, Lush is one of the topics, one of the Isser Malacha listed in Klal Gadol, and in the Mishkan, it was also done in the context of the Samamanim, which is what the Aruch HaShulchan, rather, says. So, the first, I guess, I'll break it down into 4 different issues. Number 1 is the Isser of Lush itself, which we'll talk about, the machlokas between Rebbe and Rav Yossi. The Isser of Lush, what exactly is the prohibition? Number 2 is the question of Lav Bar Gibel versus Bar Gibel. Number 3 is Blila Raka versus Blila Ava. And number 4 is Shinur. And again, these are not going to break down as neatly as what we just did in Tochein, because there are so many overlapping elements. Okay, so when it comes to what's the Isser of Lush, so the Gemara, in multiple instances, mentions a machlokas between Rebbe and Reb Yossi, both on Yud Ches Amud Aleph and on Kuf Nun Hey Amud Beis, as well as Kuf Nun Vav, Amud Aleph, where it spills over to. So the machlokas between Rebbe and Reb Yossi is really, what is the Isser of Lush? According to Rebbe, the Isser is the Nesinas Mayim, just placing water into something which will cause it to clump, right? That is the Isser of Lush. Even if I don't mix it, even if it doesn't clump necessarily, just placing the water. So I have flour and I put water in it, just putting the water in the flour, that's Usser according to Rebbe, even though I didn't mix it. But according to Rav Yossi, I have to actually do Gibel. I have to actually mix it and make it more of a clumpy thing in order to be considered Lush. And that machlokas, again, is mentioned in multiple instances and is discussed on multiple materials, but kemach is the main argument. And there's a big machlokas poskin on how do we paskin. So the Rif, the Rambam, the Rush, all paskin like Rebbe Yossi, and the Shulchan Aruch follows them. And therefore, the Isser is Gibel, the actual mixing. But the Nesinas Hamayim, that's not Usser according to those opinions. However, the Bala Truma, Rabbeinu Baruch, he is Machmir for Shitas Rebbe, and therefore Nesinas Mayim itself is Usser. And the Ramah seems to paskin, or at least be Choshesh for, the Shita of the Bala Truma, which is really the Shita of Rebbe. So that's the first section. What is the Isser of Lush? Machlokas Rebbe and Rav Yossi, which really becomes the Machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim. Number 2 is the question of whether we're talking about a Bar Gibel versus a Lav Bar Gibel. Because the Gemara on Yud Ches, Amud Aleph, talks about Dio and other things which are more liquidy. They're less thick. They're not like flour, which is going to become extremely thick when you put water in it. They're very thin. So maybe it's a Lav Bar Gibel, or it is a Lav Bar Gibel. But the question is, how do we treat that? Is it something which will cause more of a chumrah, right? Will Rebbe Yossi agree that if something's a Lav Bar Gibel, so then of course the Nesinas Hamayim at that point is the Isser. He only argued that when the Isser was the Gibel, when we're talking about a Bar Gibel, in that case Rebbe Yossi says the Isser is the Gibel. But if we're talking about a Lav Bar Gibel, so then there's only the only critical moment, the only moment of potential Isser Malacha is Nesinas Hamayim. And maybe Rav Yossi agrees with Rebbe in that case when we're talking about a lav bar gibel? Or no, do we say that if something's a lav bar gibel, then according to Rebbe Yossi, there's no iser. He's just as mako. The iser is gibel. And if it's a lav bar gibel, there's no iser according to Rebbe Yossi. So is it lav bar gibel more mako or more machmir? So this is a machlokas seemingly between Rashi and Tosfos. Because the Gemara in Beitza quotes that there's a case, let's say someone has an oven and they don't want the heat to escape, so they try to plug up the oven with different materials. So the Gemara talks about what materials are being used, whether there may be muksa, etc. And the Gemara says at one point that you're allowed to use afer, right, with an aleph. And Rashi there says that you're allowed to use afer to plug up the oven, oh, because it's a lav bar gibel. And we're more mako when it comes to lav bar gibel. So you're allowed to use that to plug up the oven. You're not worried that it's going to be lush. And Tosfos, both in Beitza, on Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and in Shabbos, on Yerches Amud Aleph, questions Rashi and says, Rashi, Abaye, in Shabbos, on Yerches Amud Aleph, seems to say, in the Havamina, that something being a lav bar gibel is a reason to be more machmir, not more mako. That Rav Yossi actually would maybe agree with Rebbe if something is a lav bar gibel. So really, lav bar gibel is not a reason to be more mako, it's a reason to be more machmir. So don't tell me that the reason why the Gemara in Beitza allows for you to plug up the oven with afer is because it's a lav bar gibel, because lav bar gibel is a reason to be more machmir. So Tosfos gives a different answer. But what we see at the end of the day is that according to Tosfos, really, lav bar gibel is more of a chumrah. Whereas according to Rashi, lav bar gibel is more of a kula. And when it comes to how do we paskin on this issue, the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perachav Al Halacha Lamed Aled, says that if something is a lav bar gibel, there's no iser deoraisa, and there's only a gzera derabanan that maybe you'll come to do gibel on a bar gibel, and therefore all you need is a shinoi. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Shinchav Aleph Yodalet. And the Mishnah Berurah again explains, because lav bar gibel, according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, is a reason to be more makel, like the opinion of Rashi. What's important to note, though, is that this is all within the Shita of Rav Yossi. But, of course, according to Rebbe, it doesn't matter if something's a lav bar gibel or a bar gibel, because the Isser, according to Rebbe, is the Nesinas Hamayim. So if the Isser is the Nesinas Hamayim, the potential existence for gibel, meaning if it's a lav bar gibel or not, it doesn't matter. Putting water in a certain substance is going to be an iser. So it doesn't matter. And therefore, according to the Ashkenazim, we're always going to be machmir. So that's section number 2. Yes?
Is there an element of like doma ladash? Of doma ladash? Meaning, is there like, if something's not a bar gibel at all, like how is that lush? I mean, isn't lush defined as lush?
Isn't lush defined by lush?
Meaning lush is making dough. In the
right, so you're still mixing together two things that then combine into one.
Right, so even if your iser is nisina samayim, like wouldn't there have been makom to argue that stafka, if it's something that can lead to some sort of gibel? Even if you don't need the gibel to actually over the iser, but at least that's one of the shayim.
Lush is broken down, there's two parts of it, there's the nisina samayim and the gibel.
Right, even
you could still have lush on something which is a lav bar gibel. That's part of it. So if we're saying that, then the nesinas hamayim itself is the iser. We don't care about whether it's going to... That's what Rebbe is saying. What is the critical moment? What is the machayev? It's just the nesinas hamayim. So if something's a lav bar gibel, who cares? The nesinas hamayim is the iser.
Right.
Whereas Rebbe Yossi might say, actually, if it's lav bar gibel, and the machayev is the gibel, so if there's no gibel, then maybe it could be more meiko, which is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. That's only Nisr Derabanan, and a shinoi is enough. But Rebbe would say the opposite. And that's how the Ramah would paskin. So that's number 2. Good? Okay. The third issue is Blila Ava versus Blila Raka. And the background for this is that the Gemara on Kufnon Hei, Amud Beis, says that there's a machlokas when it comes to being govel Kelly on Shabbos. That according to one opinion, which we'll assume is the opinion of Rebbe, that's how the Gemara seems to assume, it's just a Tanakama, but we'll assume it's Rebbe. So they say, or Rebbe says, that being govlin keli on Shabbos is aser. And then the Gemara quotes that there's a yesh omrim, which matir is being govel keli on Shabbos, as long as there's a shinoi. And the Gemara says, who's this opinion? Who is that? And we say it's Rabbi Yossi, because as Rashi there quotes, similar to what we just said, according to Rebbe, of course there would be no shin, there's no heter of shinoi on the gibel, which we'll get to, by the way. But Rashi says that the Gemara, well, let's say it like this, the Yesh Omrim says being govlin keli b'shinoi is mutter. So who's that? Rashi says, or the Gemara says, that must be the opinion of Rav Yossi, because according to Rav Yossi, a shinoi on the govlin process, that actually might be a heter, because according to Rav Yossi, the iser is the gibel, so shinoi on the gibel is going to help you. But according to Rebbe, the iser is the nesinas mayim. So this is the nesinas mayim. So there's no purpose on being mishane the gibel. You did the iser already by putting in the water, putting in whatever, or the dvash, right? So this must be, this yesh omri must be the opinion of Rav Yossi. And we'll get back to that Rashi, because it's going to be important. But then the Gemara continues and says that both of these opinions agree that when it comes to Shisa, there's no Isser, right? There's no Isser Doraisa. So the Gemara says, how could that be? Didn't you just say Ein Govlin? How could you say that by Shisa, both opinions agree that there's no Isser? Didn't the Tanakama, which we assume is Rebbe, just say Ein Govlin? So the Gemara answers, Hab Lila Ava, Hab Lila Raka. That it depends what we're talking about. When the Gemara says Govlin is Usser, according to the Tanakama, which is Rebbe, that is talking about a Blila Ava, where you're making a very thick substance. And since it's extremely thick, or non-runny, let's call it, that is Usser. But for Blila Raka, even Rebbe would agree, something like Shisa, which is a very runny mixture, that's Mutter. There's no Isser of Losh on that. And as the Gemara adds, as long as there is a shino. So what we see is that even if you pass, so for certainly, if you pass in like Rav Yossi, this distinction doesn't make much of a difference, because for Rav Yossi, he was already always matir b'lila ava with a shinoi anyway, right? Because that in that first brisa, the Yesh Omrim was arguing, and that case was b'lila ava, and based on the Okimta the Gemara. And Rav Yossi was matir, blila ava, with the shinoi. So if you pass on like Rav Yossi, this Gemara doesn't really make much of a difference. But if we're Ashkenazim, do we have any Sfarnim? No. So since we're all Ashkenazim, and we pass in like the Ramah, right? So for the Ramah, this is extremely consequential. Because the Ramah was machmir for the Shita of Rebbe. And now we're saying that actually Rebbe is not always machmir in 100% of the cases. If you could make a blila raka, if you have something like Shisa, and you use a shinoi, then you're actually allowed to do that. That's not losh, that's mutter. So this is going to be extremely important. Halach lamaisa. Okay, so that is number three. Number four, and lastly, when it comes to losh, is the question of shinoi. Because, again, the Gemara had said that shinoi works on losh in various different ways. But the Gemara lists different types of shinoi. Number one is the shino of ma'at ma'at, doing less than the normal amount. Number two is a shinoi in the order of ingredients. That if normally I put in water and then flour, I should put in flour first and then water, or vice versa. Number three is shasi v'arev, some sort of crisscross motion. And number four, which is something the poskim mentioned, is from the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem, Amr Aleph, which says that if I knead gently, or if I mix with my hand, so then that's not normal either. That's a shinui. So those are the different shinuyim. But it's important that we recognize where and when to apply these shinuyim. Because again, and this is why lush is complicated, but hopefully this structure helps, we're always talking about Rebbe and Rav Yossi. So the Beis Yosef makes this very clear, and it's really based on the Rashi that we mentioned a few minutes ago. Because according to Rav Yossi, the Isser is the Gibel. So if the Isser is the Gibel, you want to implement the Shinoi on what the Isser is. So if you pass on like Rav Yossi, you want to do Shinoi in the mixing. You want to do shasi v'ariv. You want to do ma'at ma'at. But if you pass on like Rebbe, which the Rama does, so then the shinoi on the gibol is too late. You already did the nesinas hamayim, which is the real iser. So that's where you end up with this other shinoi of changing the ingredients. Because changing the ingredients is a shinoi on the nesinas hamayim. And therefore, we should really try to, halach l'maisa, we try to be machmir for both shitas, which is really what the Rama, that's what the Rama really is saying in Shin Chav Aleph Tazayin, that we're really trying to fulfill both the opinion of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi. So that's why we end up with this shinoi number one on the order of the ingredients, to be machmir for shitas Rabbi, and to make sure that the nesinas hamayim is done with the shinoi. And then we also have a shinoi on the way something is mixed itself. So you can do shasiv ariv, or you can mix gently without, you know, too much gusto, and that would be a heter as well. And therefore, if you want to do, according to the Ashkenazi opinion, some sort of lush, it should be blila raka, and it should be with these shinuyim, and then it would be mutter. And we spoke about, again, in the Chabura, different versions of things which are just not lush, like if there's dissolving, or if things are cooked already. But that's not really my focus. Again, I'm just trying to break up the sugyas and give the general broad sugyas. Yes?
Ma'at ma'at was defined as shinu nesinas hamayim or shinu ma'aseh gibul?
That one is less clear. It looks like based, the Rambam mentions ma'at ma'at, so it looks like...
That would be a little
yosi. Yeah. And the Shulchan Aruch too. The Rama is the one, he mentions the order of ingredients.
Meaning, if I did ma'am ma'at and the sinas hamayim, meaning, could I use the shinoi on both the ma'as gibul and the sinas hamayim?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Good question. Yes?
Well, if Rabbi holds there's no Isser by Racha, why do you shinoi after that? Once it's Racha, you're good.
No, because the Gemara says, v'hu shemishan, v'mishan.
Right.
Anything else? Okay. So I guess we'll talk about Zareh and Kotzer very quickly. There's not much to say because, again, the style I've been doing so far has really been breaking up what we've seen. And when it came to Zareh and Kotzer, we really didn't do the Gemara and Rishon in the same way that we did for Tochen and Lash. So I'll just mention some of the issues that I think we talked about in the Chabura. I'm not going to go through them extensively, but just... also, I think we're going for like 45 minutes already. So just to mention some of the issues very quickly, when we spoke about Zoreya, I think we spoke about three main things in the Chabura, if I went through my notes correctly. But if not, I can send out my notes later also if anyone needs. But I'm sure you guys also have very good ones. So Zoreya, we talked about, number one, soaking plants in water and that causing the plant to sprout, which would be an Isser of Zoreya, based on the Gemara in Zvachim, which could potentially be misunderstood, which is the Kasha, the Magen Avram, but we had the Yishuv of the Aruch HaShulchan, and again, at the end of the day, the Rambam, and then the Shulchan Aruch, Paskin, that if I put a plant in water, and it starts sprouting, so that would be an Isser of Zoreya. Another question is placing a stalk in water in order that it should grow, right? Taking it in, taking it out, which we said, like, to preserve it, that's not an Isser of Zoreya. And which is learned from the Gemara in Sukkah, which says that you're allowed to place your sukkah in water, your lulav in water on Shabbos. And the third is washing hands on grass on Shabbos, which if you're doing it on purpose, if I'm taking a cup and I need to start washing my hands over the grass, so that's a psik resha, and that would be asir, says the Shulchan Aruch. And the Rama goes a step further and says, based on that, we should be even more machmir and not have any picnics at all on Shabbos, because maybe, you'll come to then to pour water on grass on Shabbos. And Rav Shlomo Zalman mentioned, though, that if you have a sink where the valve of the sink basically goes right onto the grass, so he thought that you could be makel in that case because it's a psik resha, really delo nichale, and it's a grama also. So those two combined, he thought, would be a reason to be mako, which is exactly what he says by the greenhouse also, that if I'm opening and closing the door, which is going to help regulate the temperature, again, it's a psik resha and a grama combined, that he thought that would be a reason to be mako, but Rav Tani Cohen also mentioned that Rav Willig, at least in the sink case, in Moko, was machmir, that he didn't think you could use those sinks on Shabbos. Yes.
The technique example, is that sort of sick ratio, or is that just your thought?
That if I, for the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch.
Yes, both.
The Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, if I'm pouring onto the grass, that's a psik resha, so that's aser. And the Rama, he just says to go a step further, it's like a gezeira, that we shouldn't even have picnics at all then. Yeah.
Like once you wash your hands over the ground, then you can talk also by lush.
Yeah, so if you want to go to the bathroom on the ground, so then there's a potential. It's I think in Zoraya, actually, the Magen Avraham there says it's not a problem of Zoraya because it's actually damaging the grass, but as we mentioned in the Chabura, it would be an issue of lush because of what it's going to do maybe to the mud or the cement. So you'd have to go to an area where that would hopefully not be a problem.
But I think we said also if you do it over a rock and then let it fall off, that's mother.
Same as kosher.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And then the last topic was kotzer. And when it came to kotzer, there were three different issues. One was being mishtamish, a tree, touching a tree or a bush, which we said is usser, it's muksa. Shouldn't call it usser, it's muksa, not allowed to do it. And therefore, if your frisbee gets stuck in a tree or the ball gets stuck in a tree, you're not allowed to get it. And we talked about, let's say you have a hammock, right? So, because the Shulchan Aruch mentions, so just like I'm not allowed to touch a tree, I'm also not allowed to touch something which is only one step removed from the tree, the tzidei ha'ilan. So if I put a peg on a tree, so that peg is only one step removed from the tree, it's still usher to touch that too. So if I want to now put my ladder on the peg, I'm moving the peg. That's touching the tree. That's a problem. However, let's say the ladder is already on the peg, which is already on the tree, so and I want to climb the ladder, so the only thing I'm doing is I'm climbing the ladder. So that's totally fine. Even though the ladder's on the peg, at that point I'm not moving the peg at all. So I'm being mishtamish, but tzidei ha'ilan, that's two steps removed, that's fine. And that's really important when it comes to hammocks, because let's say I have a hook, so the hook connected to the tree, that's only one step removed, that's a problem. So I can't touch the hook. So I definitely can't put up the hammock on Shabbos. But if the hammock's already there, I could sit on the hammock, because the hammock itself is two steps removed from the tree. A second issue is smelling food, and the poskim make a distinction between smelling food which is edible and smelling something which is a plant which isn't edible. So if this is an esrog or some sort of fruit tree, I shouldn't smell the food because then there's a chashash that I'll then want to pick it off the tree, and which would be kotzer. But if there's some nice roses, you can smell the roses because I'm not going to pick the roses. I'm not going to eat them, and then it would be mutter. Okay, and the last thing was atzitz nakov, which we spoke about just because it's good lamdas. But the Gemara says that taking an atzitz nakov, so it's a plant with a hole on the bottom of the pot, and picking it up, it was being yonik from the ground, and I now put it on top of some yesedos, so it's not being connected to it's not connected to the ground anymore. The Gemara says that is tolish. So Tosfos says, why is that tolish? When it comes to truma, we say that even when you put it on top of the pegs, it's still chayiv and truma. So it sounds like even on top of the yesedos is still considered connected to the ground. So how come when it comes to truma, on top of the yesedos is considered connected to the ground, but when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, being on top of the yesedos is seemingly not connected to the ground anymore, because moving it from the ground to the yesedos is tolish. But if you're telling me by truma that it's still chayiv v'truma, aren't you saying the status of yesedos is connected to the ground? So how could you say it's tolish? It should still be connected to the ground, halachically. So we said that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik has a lamdos in the Kovetz Chigushei Torah, which is that it different types of planting halachos depend on different criteria. That when it comes to truma, the criteria is yanika from the ground, that the plant needs to be nurtured from the soil. So the plant can still be nurtured from the soil if it's on the ground itself, or if it's on a peg a little bit on top of the ground, we presume that the ground and the soil, the nutrients, are still working its way through the peg to the plant, I guess. And therefore, it's still chayv and truma. But tolesh is defined by halachic mechuber. And you can't say that it's mechuber lakarka anymore on a halachic level, because it's not. It was on the ground, and now it's not, so it's detached. But when it comes to truma, it's not considered detached. Okay.
Yeah.